You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Hello, I'm Scott Buttram, and welcome to Right Side Radio. I'm filling in for Phil Williams today here at News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. If you'd like to join in the conversation, trust me, I would welcome your calls. I have not done a hosting job on the radio in about 25, maybe 30 years. So any assistance from our listeners, I would appreciate. I would welcome. You can reach us at 866-494-WVNN. That's 9866 if you don't want to look down at your phone and check out all the letters. So again, that number 866-494-9866. We've got a lot that we'll be talking about today. We'll have Erica Thomasone. She is the managing editor, I should say, for 1819 News, a new statewide news organization for focusing on real reporting. And by that, we mean fact-based reporting. Just to give you a little bit about my background, I am the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. You may have heard me before. I'm a guest sometimes with Phil Williams on this very show. And 1819 News really follows the same philosophy that we use at the Trustful Tribune, which is when you're reporting news, stay fact-based. I tell people when I hire them all the time, I don't really care if you're a conservative or a liberal or a moderate. None of that should matter. All I care is when our readers finish reading a news article that you've written, they better not know where you stand politically, because that has no bearing on the facts. If somebody wants to write an op-ed, that's great. We'll put their opinion on the op-ed page where it belongs, and we'll keep a line of delineation between the two. We cover eight cities in Jefferson and St. Clair counties. Those cities include Trustful, Clay, Pinson, Centerpoint, Argo, Springville, Leeds, and Moody. And you're welcome to check out our website anytime you have an opportunity at TrustfulTribune.com. In our second hour, in the 3 o'clock hour, we will have Paul DeMarco. Paul is the Jefferson County, I don't know if he's president or executive director of the Jefferson County Republican Party. I don't know exactly what title they give Paul. We just call him Paul. He is also a former state representative and will bring a lot of insight to what goes on in Montgomery. So we're looking forward to visiting with Paul. We're looking forward to visiting with Erica. And we can talk about anything you would like to talk about. Again, let me give you that number. If you'd like to call in and chat, I'd welcome your call. It's 866-494-9866. One of the things that I have been paying a lot of attention to, it's not really in the news right now, but it's an area of concern. I am a strong believer in school choice. I think that we need to expand school choice here in Alabama and let parents make the decision about where their children are educated. And I believe the tax dollars that go with those students should be more readily available for parents to use them if they choose to homeschool, or if they choose to seek a Christian education or a private school education for their students, or in some cases, maybe just go to a different school zone. I'm a big believer in that. So one of the things I follow closely is what's going on with AEA, the Alabama Education Association. Most of you who have been in Alabama for any length of time know that through a long period of our history, AEA controlled public education in Alabama. Paul Hubbert was masterful in building the organization and taking in the contributions from members and turning around and buying politicians with it, and pretty much got his way in the state of Alabama for decades before the Republican takeover of 2010, when the Alabama legislature suddenly became Republican majority. It had not been. It had been Democrat majority for 136 years prior to that. So one of the first things that Alabama Republicans did when they took over is to tell their candidates, look, you're not taking any more money from AEA. You are not going to be bought and paid for by AEA. And they essentially crushed the influence of AEA in Montgomery. which like a lot of organizations, okay? AEA had its good moments. They did a wonderful job increasing teacher pay and teacher benefits. They were the catalyst that really pushed that and got teacher pay in Alabama on par with other states. That's important. Our teachers are some of the most important people in the state. We entrust them with our children all day, every day. They should be properly compensated. I actually think they deserve a lot more than they're getting right now, and I would like to see that improve. So in that respect, the Alabama Education Association did bring some value to the table. The problem became when they used that money to begin to influence legislators on their pet issues. They became so powerful, in fact, that they were influencing legislators on many issues that had absolutely nothing to do with education in Alabama. So why would we be concerned? The Republicans came in, took over the legislature in 2010 as the majority. They kind of crushed AEA. Paul Hubbard resigned, realized he was a lightning rod politically, and he stepped aside. He went ahead and retired. And the new director, I don't even remember his name. I should, but it doesn't come to me immediately. Immediately just kind of took up the mantle of attacking the Republican majority in Montgomery. And it didn't go over well. It didn't work for him. He sunk a ton of AEA money into political campaigns, which and put it behind candidates, which promptly got their rear ends beat. They didn't do well at all. They were beaten badly. That money was down the drain, and AEA was teetering on insolvency. They've made a little comeback. The National Education Association, by the way, who AEA likes to disclaim when it's convenient, actually had to step in and keep AEA afloat. But what's gone on since then? Well, one of the things we've looked at is that AEA is now back with a good bit of money in their pocket, and they're contributing to political campaigns. Now, when you see a special interest group such as AEA, by the way, if you ever look at campaign contributions, they do this under a PAC called A-Vote. So A-Vote is what you would be looking for if you ever go to the Secretary of State's website and take a look at political contributions. But they've started putting a lot of money into political campaigns again, headed that direction. Anytime you see a special interest group start dropping a lot of campaign money on candidates and mostly sitting elected officials, listen, they've got an interest. They've got a desire to get something for that money. And despite the fact that the Alabama Republican Party has a rule saying that their office holders, their public officials, cannot accept AEA money, well, guess what? Those elected officials have been taking that money for several years now, and they are coming in pretty substantial amounts. And so you begin to wonder, what does AEA want for this money? Well, one of the things they want is to eliminate school choice. We don't have much in Alabama as it is. We do have, I believe it's the AAA, which allows people to donate or make contributions, tax-deductible contributions that can then be used as scholarships to help students move to a private school if they're not in a good situation. After that, we have tax incentives that kick in and help the parents compensate for the tuition that they would have to pay. The AEA wants that to go away. They want to end that. You'll hear them talk quite a bit about this money is coming out of the Education Trust Fund. It's marginal money. That's one of the first things you should know. The Education Trust Fund budget is huge, and this is a drop in the bucket compared to their overall budget. And more importantly, since the scholarship program was put into effect, the Education Trust Fund budget has just grown and grown and grown. It's the highest that it's been in the history of the state of Alabama at this point. The Education Trust Fund is flush with money. The Alabama General Fund is flush with money. There's the times are good in Alabama financially, but we need to keep an eye on what's going on with ANA and our AEA and our elected officials. I don't think most voters in Alabama would elect a Republican and then expect them to kowtow to a special interest group that has a strong history of a liberal approach to everything. And that's what you get with the Alabama Education Association. So one of the questions that we should probably be asking of the new Alabama GOP, and we're going to talk to Paul DeMarco about this a little bit. We'll be back and we'll discuss a little bit more about the AEA after these breaks. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, filling in for Phil Williams. This is News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can reach us at 866-494-9866. I am the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. Phil has asked me to step in and guest host as he's off with his wife celebrating their 35th anniversary. Congratulations, Phil. 35 years of doing anything is a pretty good success. We were talking, and I should mention, we'll be joined shortly by Erica Thomas, managing editor of 1819 News. Erica will kind of talk about the goings on in the state of Alabama and this new statewide news organization who's really off to a big start. They're doing a great job covering the state of Alabama. And I think they're going to be especially important as the legislature, the Alabama legislature, goes into session in January. So we'll get to talk to Erica about the things that are going on there. We were, right before the break, talking about AEA and the influence they have had over Alabama politics for probably the last half century. I think that's fair. Then they kind of disappeared when the Republicans took control in 2010 of Montgomery. But they're back in business, and AEA is making donations to politicians again. They're doing it at a time when the country is moving more and more towards school choice and letting parents make educational decisions for where they want their students to attend school. And as this is going on, we're seeing AEA start making political contributions to Republican candidates. Another issue that we're looking at is the Literacy Act, the Alabama Literacy Act, that will require third graders in Alabama who are not reading at grade level to be retained a year. Democrats want to paint that as punishment. I paint it as what it really is, and that is a life raft to these children, because if they go into fourth grade without the ability to lead or to read on grade level, they are going to struggle in every class they take, and that's not acceptable. We're setting them up to fail. The Alabama Literacy Act is supposed to give them that opportunity to get caught up before they move on. It is supposed to go into effect at the end of this school year. AEA is among the groups working diligently to get the legislature to postpone that. Some want it to be postponed a year, some want it to be postponed 2 years. And hey, guess who they got on board with them? Governor Kay Ivey. The legislature actually voted last year or earlier this year in the regular session. To delay it for 2 years. Ivy vetoed it. And then as the scores started coming out, Ivy came back and said, oh, no, I made a mistake and I shouldn't have vetoed it. I'm going to urge the legislature to pause that and catch it up because COVID's put these kids behind. I fail to understand how social promotion and pushing third graders ahead when they are not prepared to move ahead is a good idea. COVID or no COVID, the same problem exists, which is they are not prepared to comprehend the material they've got to comprehend in order to advance. They won't be able to understand math better, science better, all of these subjects, history, everything is affected if you can't read at grade level. So AEA is getting their way, at least with the governor's office. Now, keep in mind that her veto can't be reversed without the legislature going back into session and voting again to put this thing on pause. It's just another example of how there are people that do not want accountability in public education in Alabama, and they will do anything within their power to fight that accountability. They want it to simply be they actually want it to be an assembly line. They want it to be an all size fits all for these kids. There's no rule that says an 8-year-old has to be in third grade. I don't know where that's come from. We should base this more on the individual student. We should give them every single opportunity to succeed, and that begins by helping them read on grade level. When we come back, we're going to have Erica Thomas, as I mentioned earlier, managing editor of 1819 News. Stay with us here at Right Side Radio, and we'll continue the conversation.